Morning and welcome to Grace Chapel. Member of the Fisherman Ministry out here in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Jesus, we come before you today, and we ask that you open our minds and our hearts, Father, that you allow us to understand the words that are being spoken to us today, and we pray for your wisdom and understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
He has made me glad. He has made me glad.
One simple, quick verse today. Over in James, chapter 1, verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. That's a lot. It's one that I have an extreme challenge in, but it's one that I know I must conquer. To hear what somebody else is saying so that you can understand where they are coming from, so you can give them the words that the Lord would want them to hear, not what you would want to hear. Also, when you present yourself to others, listen to them first. Being long-winded of many words, giving them out to other people when you first meet them. Let's face it, most people want to hear about themselves. They don't want to hear about you, especially if they come to you first. So you need to listen to them. When you present yourself to them, just give me your name. That's all you have to do. You don't have to expand on it of what you do. You don't even have to give them a last name. It's funny, they call it a last name. It's not a last name. It's a family name. Your first name is what identifies who you are. Your occupation, did they ask you what you do for a living? Why would you give it to them? Being able to hear what they need. Also, being able to hear what the Spirit is showing you. If you do not listen, you'll miss it. I know I have many times, because pride makes me want to go through a whole concord of who I am, what I do, and all the things that go along with it, instead of just stopping and saying, "Hi, I'm Bob," and listening. Put yourself in that shoe. "Hi, I'm so-and-so," and stop. Listen to what they need. Listen to what they're saying. When you do that, you'll hear what they truly need, and you will also hear where some of their faults lie. You'll hear when they start speaking out of pride. But you'll also hear what they sincerely need to know, or what they want to know. Be slow to anger. Be slow to wrath. Doesn't matter what they say to you. Those are words. Words cannot harm you. Too many times somebody will say something to you, and it's happened to me on more than one occasion, where somebody says something, and immediately I start to get angry. Why? Why do we have the tendency to do this? Simple. Pride. But also be slow to wrath, because you do not want to get angry, because when you get angry, you no longer hear what the person says or what the person needs. Put yourself in the words of James. Long to listen, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Amen.
Brother Bob.
Sir.
I would add to that, that when you're in wrath, you can't hear the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Morning. I smiled when Bob this morning started with a short verse, because the verse I got this morning as I was thinking about what to speak on was one of the verses in the longest chapter of the Bible, Psalm 119. Up. Verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Ever feel lost? Ever not know quite what to say, what to do? As Bob said, start with, "Hi, my name is. How are you?" Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Lord doesn't give us a lot to see ahead of us. He gives us this step, the first step. If we saw too much ahead, we'd fall off more than likely one way or another. One would be, "I can't do that, that's too big." The other would be, "Wow, look what I'm going to do." Both of them are falling off. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Simple. Get into it. Study it, read it, and you will have then the direction that you need to go.
Jesus, cover us.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to go to Ezekiel 28. And I would suggest that you read all of Ezekiel 28. Because Ezekiel 28 deals with a prophecy. The Prince of Tyre here is the Antichrist. The King of Tyre is the fall of Lucifer. But we're going to deal with just a few verses here. We're going to look at Ezekiel 28, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations. And they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. There are two groups being talked about coming against the Antichrist. One, strangers. Two, the terrible of the nations. The terrible is Jesus. Because terrible here is one who was rejected and they are afraid of. When he comes, he will be a terror to them. For they will realize they picked the wrong horse. And this one's coming to stomp them. But I want to look for a moment at the strangers. Let's go over to the book of John, chapter 1, and verse 1. Verse 12. But as many as received him, that is, Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The sons of God here refer to angels. Every time you find the term sons of God, it refers to God's host of angels. Now, who are these angels? We know that God's angels were led by Michael, and they were stayed loyal to God the Father. We know that the Holy Ghost's angels were led by Gabriel, and they stayed loyal to Gabriel. But we also know that Jesus, the Christ, his angels were led by Lucifer, and he did not remain loyal. And they rebelled against Christ and were cast out. So Christ is rebuilding his army. He is building it back up. And he's rebuilding it with the saints that believe on him. My question to you is a simple question. If you were to go and be with the Lord right now, if right now you were to go to be with the Lord, would you have the power to become a son of God? Many listening to me, if not most, would not have that power. They may think they would, but they do not. So what are we going to do about it? what are we going to do about it? In order to have that power, we had to shed ourselves of the old man. The old man covets the things of the world. The old man is full of pride. The old man loves himself more than he loves others. In order for us to receive the power of God, to become the sons of God, we need to shed ourselves of all that. Take those things and reverse them. Learn to love God more than yourself. Learn to love others more than yourself. Covet the things that are in heaven and not the things on earth. If anything is taught to you, things on earth do not last. You children, you know this. When mommy or daddy buys you a new toy, it's so cool. It's pretty. But what's it look like after a little while? It's not pretty anymore. It gets broken. It gets thrown away. But let me tell you a secret. When Jesus Christ gives you something, it lasts forever. It doesn't tarnish. It doesn't rust. And it doesn't break. It's forever. And it's as good the first day of your life that you receive it as it will be the last day of your life when He receives you. The gifts of God are beyond measure. They are beyond comprehension and understanding. They are to be desired above all things because they are eternal and no man or woman can take them from you. But sadly, I've seen people take them and lay them down. And then forget where they put them. But I have good news for you. I have good news. And that is, if you will humble yourself and confess to the Lord that you have lost or laid down or forgotten where you have laid those gifts that He's given you, He will give them back to you. He will show you where they are, and you can pick them up and carry on with Him. Amen. That's good news. It's called God's grace. We have a time here on this earth that God has given us to learn how to be His soldiers. How to be obedient. When we come with Him, we will have to be able to instantly take orders and respond as He says. If you think you can go to heaven and argue with the Lord and get away with it, you're wrong. Not going to happen. And you know what? He gives you gifts here on earth to help you learn, to help you come to that place where you can hear and do. These gifts are called parents, mothers and fathers. When you learn to obey them, you're getting the foundation of learning how to obey God. He gives you preachers. He gives you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. When you learn to obey them, you're learning how to obey God. He gives you employers to work for. And when you can learn to obey them without murmuring, without dissension, you're learning how to obey God. So that when the time comes that you do go to be with the Lord, then you will have the power to become the sons of God. And you will be named among those strangers that come against the Antichrist. And why does he call them strangers? He calls them strangers because you're a peculiar people, number one. You're not like everybody else. You're strange to them. They don't understand you. You must be something wrong with you to want to follow the Word of God and Jesus Christ blindly, putting all your hope and all your cares in Him. You're strange to them. And the other, they don't know you. They never did. But the day will come when God will see to it that all know who you are if you are His. So, you may have done this 1,000 times before. That's okay. Do it again. Get in your closet. Confess your sins and your faults. Of omission as well as commission. Ask the Lord to wipe the slate clean and help you to start over again. He will do it. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm done.
Lord, on my own, I can turn this heart into stone. God.
Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the chance to be able to hear your words. We thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you've given us and the understanding, Lord. We ask that you be with us as we go out into the world, that we spread your message, Lord, that we are strengthened, and that we show your love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.